All right, good evening. I hope you guys can hear me. Let's start out with a word of prayer. God, thank you for today, for everything that you've done for me and for us and for this church. Just lead God and direct us tonight. Just take over me. Just let me speak your words tonight. Just to ask a blessing over each person that's came here tonight and just favor over them. I pray this in your name, and everyone said, all right, start out today. I got some good news and I got some bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news, Josh is not here. The good news is I'm preaching. It's still going to be daylight when you get out of here. So that will be a good thing for you. So since the last time I've taken the stage, if you notice, I've got something else to share with you. I have my new glasses on, and I was kidding with the youth group a couple weeks ago. When I got them on, when I finally got them, I didn't realize how blind I was. I could see bright colors. I could see stuff. So I come in here on a Monday night, and I walk upstairs, and I look at them, and I go, gosh, you guys are ugly. So, I mean, now if I start to get nervous tonight, then I'm gonna do this. That way I can't see you guys out here and not know how many you are. So if you see my glasses going off, you know I'm getting nervous. So I got a couple of things I want to share with you tonight. And the first thing is, have you ever been to the point where God's asking you to do something? God's asking you to do something that you don't want to do. He's putting on your heart that you need to do this certain thing for him. And, you know, you get that feeling in your stomach that, oh, no, I don't want to do it. Or sometimes when God tells me to do something, I kind of ask him myself, God, are you crazy? I said, I really can't do that. But I always tell the youth, I said, God's never going to put anything on you that you can't handle. He's going to prepare you in advance for what you do. So if I can encourage any of you tonight, if God's asking you out to do anything, I don't care if it's as simple as coming on church early, picking up trash, if it's talking to someone at work, if it's doing anything, I want to encourage you all to do it. Because I wrote this down, if you put God first over yourself, you will see your life change. But whenever you do that, whenever you put that God first in your life, what usually happens? You get attacked. Satan doesn't like hearing this. You start hearing that little voice in your head that you can't do it. That nobody, like 10 minutes ago, I was back there shaking, holding Danielle's hand and saying, I can't do this. Nobody's going to listen to me. 30 minutes ago, I was looking at the parking lot. Well, nobody's coming. Let's just cancel church. And that was just Satan talking, and because I know God has a message for me to say tonight, but it's like in everybody's life, they hear those messages that you can't do it. And I'm here to encourage you, if I can do this, you all can do anything. I tell the youth group all the time, I look out on them and I say, if I had your all's talent when I was that 16, 17 year old, you have your whole life ahead of you. Use what God has given you now. Because if you start using what God has given you, as I said, if you put God first over yourself in anything you do, your life will change. But a couple of weeks ago, I asked the youth group, I said, why don't you do the things that God asks you to do? Well, you know how youth like to talk. They started spouting out things like, I'm scared. I can't do it. Not confident enough. Feel rejected. I mean, how many times have you been at work and you know that God has put on your heart to talk to that coworker, and he's saying, hey, you need to encourage this person. You need to talk to this person. This person's going through something. And you start to step, and you go, nope, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you walk away. God has put that person in your life for a reason. He's put you at your job. He's put you at your, wherever you are daily. He's put you there for a reason. He's put you here tonight for some reason. So, but out of all those things, fear, I can't do it, not confident, feel rejected, you made fun of, does any of those things sound godly to you? They're not. Nowhere in here have I ever read that God was fearful, that God was couldn't do anything. That anything that Jesus did, he always did it. It says in 1 Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. So I encourage you to do all these things. I keep hearing every time I will say, because I haven't taken this stage much, is every time that God has put a sermon on my heart and I know I'm supposed to do it, and then Josh or David will ask me and I'll go, no, not now. Because I'm not confident enough. I hear Satan in my mind going, no, you can't do it. No, you can't do it. But I know in my heart that I'm supposed to. And I was working, a small story here, I was working Thursday, and I work at Dollywood Dreammore up there in the parking lot, and I'm talking to all the guests coming in and everything. And I knew that a couple of weeks ago I shared some of this lesson with the youth, that God had it on my heart to share it with you all. So I feel my phone vibrating, and we can't answer the phone usually up front, so I look at it, and I see it's David calling me. I know in my gut right there, you know that gut feeling that you get, oh crap, here we go. I knew exactly what he wanted. So I sent him and said, should I take a break and go call him? Well, I'll just slip here and text him, and hey, Mr. Call, what did you need? So I waited and waited and waited in here. I felt it vibrate again. And the text went, can you do Sunday night? And I went, oh, no, not now. I can't do it. And I sat there in the parking lot while I was talking to guests, while I was welcoming them to Dreammore on their vacation, fighting with myself whether I should do it tonight or tell him no. So finally, I just prayed. I said, God, okay, if I need to do it, give me the confidence just to text him back and say. So I texted him back, and I waited a few seconds, and didn't hear from him. And I finally texted back, don't pass out, David. And got a text back. He said, I was driving, and he almost caused me to wreck. So I apologize. But one thing I want to share with you is God put on my heart a couple months ago, and I don't know anyone knows the singer, the Christian singer, Big Daddy Weave. And he has a song out, it's called My Story. When I got married, that's what I walked into. And I love that song, My Story. So tonight I want to go into my story. But I'm not talking about just my story, I want to talk about your all story. A question I want to ask you all. If someone come up to you all right now and said, give me your story about God, could you do it? Could you confidently do it? The Bible here is filled with story after story of story to inspire us about what people did for God. The main thing I want to ask you tonight is this. If someone wrote a book about your life, would it inspire people to learn more about God? So think about that. If someone coming in was going to write a book about you, as I see my life, it's chapter after chapter after chapter. I did this, then the next chapter, then I move on to the next chapter. Or you can say seasons, whatever you want to say. But if someone wrote a book about your life, would it inspire people to learn more about God? I look back at my life, and I hope that over at least the past 9 years, that it would inspire God. But I think some of the stuff that if they wrote a life story about me, you all would be going, Steve, are you an idiot? So, but one story I want to share with you tonight, and that's the story of David. And I want to compare our life to David's life. So, what better person to compare our lives to than a future king? So, in my Bible here, it says one thing. I want to read this to you. When we think of David, we think shepherd, poet, giant killer, king, ancestor of Jesus, in short, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. But alongside that stands another side, betrayal, liar, adulterer, murderer. The first list gives qualities we might like to have. The second, qualities that might be true of any of us. That's why I look at David and I can see qualities that we have, qualities that we have compared to each other. If you go to 1 Samuel 13, 14, here, it says, "But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart." Before David was even anointed king, before this is God talking to Samuel, and he's pointed out that David has a heart just like him. And isn't that what we're supposed to be like? We're supposed to be Christ-like. So why not any better person to compare our lives to than David? All right, to compare David to our lives, let's go to 1 Samuel 10, or 16, verses 10 through 14. And here we find David. He's working in the field as a shepherd, just like us. We compare. Just like every day you go to work, you go to your job, youth, you go to school, you do something in your life every day. So it starts out in the same way all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, Are these all your sons you have?" "There are still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the field watching the sheep and the goat." "Send him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." Verse 12. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one, anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flax of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day on. That reminds me right there of when we accept God, right there, the Spirit of God comes upon us. Just like when Samuel anointed David, the Spirit of God comes upon us. And we are to do God's will. Whatever He is doing, whatever He wants us to do at that point, we're supposed to do. Just like He anointed David king, just like when He puts us in any situation He puts us in, He's put us in that situation to help someone or to even help ourselves. So the question I have, what are you doing for Him in the situation? So David is just out here doing what he's supposed to do. Just like you could be at your job tomorrow doing what you're supposed to do. And I use an example because I work with 15 other men and one lady, and four of those are former pastors. So we get spiritually talking out there sometimes, and some of the guys that we know aren't Christians that are struggling with something, they'll start to listen. And I've noticed over the past 2 years that when we start talking, they start asking questions. So I'm totally convinced that God has put each of us there in that situation, in that job, just for those guys around us. So I think that God has put you all, and you might not recognize it, in your job, in your home, in your wherever you are, in that specific situation to help someone. So God asks you to do something, and the question I asked the youth the other night was, if you are preparing daily, like we're supposed to, are you living a life daily that God is proud of? Are you reading His Word daily? Are you studying His Word? I mean, there's a difference I found out. I can just read a verse. If I don't study it and apply it, it does me no good. I mean, I could sit here and read. I could say I could be proud this year and read the whole Bible. But if I did not apply any of that to my life, then would it do me any good? So there's a difference there, reading His Word and studying His Word. Daily, are you praying to Him? And the big thing is, and that's what our whole youth conference was about this year, was serving, made to serve. Are you serving? Are you doing what God asks you to do every day? So I ask the youth, and I'll ask you, just like David, he was out here just minding his own business, doing what he was supposed to do. Just like you, or you're at work, you're just doing what you're supposed to do. All of a sudden, he gets called to his father's house. 1 minute he's a shepherd, next minute he's anointed king. I asked the youth, I said, wonder if I come in and I said, "Hey, Casey, could you lead service tonight? Could you do it?" I would ask Tori, "Could you lead singing tonight?" If I come in and I ask one of you all, Could you do something? If God asked you to do something right at this moment, could you do it? Or would you be terrified and, as I say, not take that step of faith and step backwards? Would you be ready and willing and able to do what God asked you to do? Just like David, I'm pretty sure he had no idea he was going to be anointed king. But he's out working, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Next minute, he's king. So, as we go on and we compare our lives to David's, we're here, and let's say, okay, God has asked you to do something. You do it. God has asked you simple enough to, let's just give an example of teach a Sunday school class. So you start teaching small groups class. You're living good. You feel God's blessing all over you. There's no problems in life. Everything is going good. So then usually what happens when everything is going good? That's where I'm going to go next. And what happens is the Goliath in your life. I've used this illustration as storms in your lives, but tonight I'm going to use the Goliath in your life. And what am I talking about in your Goliath in your lives is when you're going good and you're doing what God asks you to do in your life, and you're seeing blessing after blessing after blessing, Satan doesn't like that. Satan does not like anything we do for God. So all of a sudden, he's going to throw that Goliath up in your life. And what I'm talking about that is I'm talking about past addictions, past hurtful relationships, past hurt. If you suffered with depression, anything like that, talk about that. Health issues, loss of a close relatives. I'm talking anything. This Goliath could be anything in your life that hinders you from doing what God has asked you to do. If you are putting, I was going this far even, if you're on your cell phone all the time and you're texting and you're on Facebook and you're on this and that, that could be your Goliath that's keeping you from a blessing from God. So, go to 1 Samuel, let's see, 1 Samuel 17, verse 41. All right. What we have here is this is where David, for 40 days, Goliath had been taunting the Israelites. So he had come out every morning. It says in here that Goliath was 9 feet tall. He had all this stuff, so it was kind of intimidating. I know if I woke up and had to see somebody 9 feet tall and I had to face, I'd be pretty scared too. So, but for 40 days, Goliath had been taunting the Israelites. Just like us, whenever we're trying to do something for God, who taunts us? Satan. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You're too weak to do this. As I tell the youth, they always say, I'm too young to do this. All right, David sees Goliath. All these Israelites are scared of Goliath to go face him. But David was different. David tells Saul, says, I'll go fight him. But Saul kind of looks at him and says, you're just a young boy. You can't do that. So David finally convinces Saul to fight him. Let him fight. So Saul says, first you have to put on my armor. So David explains to Saul, well, I'm used to fighting lions and bears and this. I'm not used. He puts on his armor, and the armor is too big. I kind of compare David to myself. Is if I put on any like a football helmet, football pads, I mean, I'm not going to be able to run because they're so heavy. So he puts on this armor, and he says, I can't do this. And the thing that David had that nobody else had on the Israelites was this. And this is what we have daily in our lives. And I've preached on this before. Go to Ephesians 6, and it's the armor of God. Every morning, and I encourage the youth, and I encourage myself every morning. I mean, when my alarm clock goes off, I just moan and groan and don't want to get out of bed and don't want to do anything. But if I do not start my day with a prayer, if I do not start my day with thanking God for something, and if I do not put my armor on, I'm going to be attacked. And when I get attacked, It's easier for Satan to get in there and get in my mind, or get in my heart, or get to where I am not focused on what God wants me to do that day. If you get up in the morning and you put God first, and you put that armor on yourself, God will protect you. God is with you. The Spirit of God is always with you. So, David steps out, and going to 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 41, it said, Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Is that what Satan does to us? He just kind of looks at us and goes, you can't do this. So Goliath says, am I a dog? He roared at David, then you come at me with a stick. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistines, and I love this part. You come to me with a sword, spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the heavens Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That's what David comes with him. That's what we should come every time that Goliath starts up. Every time that Goliath comes into our life, every time that storm comes into our life, we should look at it and go, get away. I'm a child of the one true King, God. I can do anything. It says it in here that you can do anything. You just have to prepare and have to read. So David defeated the giant. It goes on down, and I don't have this time, but as verse 48, I'll just read it. As Goliath moved closer to attack David, quickly ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistines in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down onto the ground. All those Philistines, for 40 days, had been scared of Goliath. It took one person with the faith that God, and it says earlier that David ran out to his brothers. So I think at that point, he knew he had to do something for God. God was calling him to do something. So what is God calling you to do that your Goliath is right there? So, as I put down here, I put nothing. I say nothing is impossible with God on our side. Each one of you, I've seen it over and over, especially in the youth, because I'm so close to them, that they will get so excited and so fired up for God. And just like they come back from the youth conference every year and they get so fired up and they're ready to serve God and they're ready to do stuff. And they start walking with confidence. And the first Monday night we come back, they're full of joy. They're full of everything. Just like new Christians are. Just like some of us are every day. And they keep going in and the world keeps dragging them down. And the world keeps dragging them out week after week. And like a month later, some of them are back to the point where they were before the youth conference. That's how we are. We should stay on fire for God, but the world keeps beating us down and beating us down. And that's why, as I go back here, that each day we need to put on the armor of God. We need to prepare, because you never know when that Goliath is going to attack. Because God wants us to live a blessed life. He does not want us to sit in here and live a depressed life, an angry life, a life full of addictions. He wants us to love Him, serve Him, and He will pour blessing after blessing upon us. Do we know what these blessings are? No. Can we pray and pray and pray? It could take years for something to happen in our lives. But I will say this, and I've shared this story before. With my three kids, when I was going through a divorce, my Goliath was a judge that stood in front of me and said, there is no way that you will ever get custody of these kids. No way. He said, not in my court will I ever sign full custody to your kids. I prayed for 5 years. And that's sometimes that's what you have to do with situations in your life. You have to pray and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Because some people, they get so frustrated because they pray tonight and expect tomorrow for it to be good. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have to build that endurance with God that we can trust Him in anything. But that judge told me for 5 years, no, I will not sign. I kept praying. I kept believing. I kept saying, God, I know this is right. 5 years later, that same judge looked at me and shook his head while he was signing my kids over to me, full custody. That was my Goliath that I had to face. Because each of us have that. Now, I love to do illustrations, and I'm almost finished. See, I told you this would be a quick service. But I love to do illustrations. So I've done this one before, and I was so happy. This morning, I got up, and I got a text on my Facebook, and I didn't look at it until 7:45, but this young man called me, and texted me, and he said, Steve, I want to ride to church this morning. And I went, yes, because I knew what I was going to be doing. So I'm going to ask two people to come up. First of all, I want my lovely wife to come up here to help me with this one. And I want the young guy that texted me this morning, and he's my Goliath. See? Come up here. To bring this lesson into an illustration, and I've done this illustration before, so you sorry. All right. You are a big Goliath. Okay. A few years ago, I did not know this lovely person right here was going to be my wife, or my wife too. So I told you I was nervous. So I knew this was going to be a blessing. Did I know this was going to be a blessing to me? No. But God did. So, okay, I'm going to have you stand right over here. Right here. All right, Goliath, come over here. Oh, my gosh. All right, you stand in front of her. All right. Okay, this is how we are. Good grief. All right. What? Okay, this is how we are in a Christian life. I'm just going to use my life as an example. I was here 9 years ago, did not know what to do with my life. Only thing I did know to do, and I've used this illustration before, I got right here. God, take over. All right, He took over. So I'm walking, God asked me to do a certain thing, I step, I kind of know I don't want to do it. Just like He asked us to do something. So I finally step, and I do the first thing He wants me to do. A blessing. I keep walking. I keep doing this. I'm involved in church. I'm listening to God. Are there still struggles in my life? Yes, because there's always roadblocks. God has a straight path to know where His blessing is. See, I cannot see the blessing that's right there behind Goliath. I cannot see that, just like we cannot see. You cannot see the blessing that you've been praying for years. It may be a kid that has lost his way and you want that. It may be a relative that's ill or sick. You may be praying. I don't know what your situation is. So I keep coming up obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And finally, I'm feeling good. Did I have any idea that I was going to be remarried? No. Did I want to be remarried? No, I didn't. But that was God's plan, not my plan. If it was my plan, I wouldn't receive that blessing. So I come up, and all of a sudden, dude, you're intimidating. I see the Goliath. Okay, each of us has this Goliath, what I've been talking about in our lives. What can we do? Can we just kind of bypass and go get the blessing? Doesn't work that way. God has a plan. So we can say it, and I will say this, I think some of the steps that God had me to do was to take over the youth, was to take the stage right here, was to counsel people at work, was to do things. As long as I kept doing what God asked me to do, I was going to receive those blessings. If I ever stopped doing those blessings, I was taking steps backwards, not steps forward. So, in your life situation, this is your Goliath. What are you all going to do? Are you going to run and hide? Are you going to face this Goliath? So, I face this Goliath, and I come to him just like David, And each morning I put on Ephesians 6, I put on my armor of God. And I get protection. And I go and I say, I don't actually throw the sling at you, but I say, God, I trust you. I'm going to do what you ask. I'm going to do your will. I want help. I need this Goliath out of my life. What happens? God moves him and my blessing.
Mm-hmm. You
trying to show me off the stage? No, I won't push you off
the stage. And hey, can I add something?
Yes.
You know, you were talking about how you continue to do what God, oh gosh, told you to do. God spoke to you about me being your wife when you were teaching Bible study.
Yes.
Or Bible school that summer or whatever. So, yeah, that's totally true. And then I was standing behind Cole and I was like, I kept thinking of that verse. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. We totally couldn't see each other. But eventually it was there because we believed.
Yes, and I got you on stage today too. All right. Thank you, guys. Okay, I just want to close. I love to do illustrations, and I apologize that this was a short lesson. I can't be a Josh Moore. I can only be Steve. So I want to close on this. God wants us to live a blessed life. And I'll say it again. I'll close with this. Do not let the Goliaths control your lives. Take that step of faith. Take whatever God's asking you to do and just do it. God's got you. I mean, the world won't have you. The world will let you down time after time after time after time. God will never let you down if you just trust and obey and follow Him. So, David, would you close us in prayer? Do you mind? I'll get you on stage too. All right, you're good.
Father God, we just want to